Welcome to the Flute View Radio. This is Viviana Guzman for theflutview.com.
Hello, everybody. My name is Viviana Guzman for the Flute View magazine. My special guest today is the flute professor at the Freiburg Hochschule in Germany. Please help me welcome Mario Caroli.
Hi, Viviana.
Hello.
So nice to see you. Yeah, a lot of kisses to you.
Thank you. No, thank you for joining me today. I first heard you when at Fallout, and you played the Muchinsky Memorized, and
yes,
with such sensitivity and passion and fire.
Thank you.
Remember, I just stood up after I heard that.
Yeah. Wow.
Because you were so amazing. And then I invited you to play in the San Francisco Flute. There you presented a brilliant recital from Bach all the way to, your specialty is new music, but I would like to start from the beginning. Tell us a little bit about your dear teacher Manuela and how that started.
Yes, right. First of all, I want once again to thank you, because you know the admiration that I have for you, and because as an active flutist, I mean, you do so much for your colleagues. This is absolutely no one does. I was very overwhelmed because recently I had an interview with Jasmine Choi, and also this was touching me so much that Jasmine did, because no one does this, included me. I mean, it's so rare to find colleagues that consecrate their time to their colleagues. And so I'm very happy and honored. So this is my introduction. And well, we met in Fallout many years ago, and I remember perfectly that you were seated in the first row. And I am so sensitive to the energy of people that I took all the energy from you in this concert. I'm sincere, because you were just shining something.
You were inspiring me so much.
Well, it was, you know, an exchange. But I remember very well that I took a lot from you in this concert, as well as in San Francisco when you invited me some years later. And yes, I met Manuela Wiesler in 2000. And she was still playing at that time. But I didn't know that she has already decided to stop playing the flute. So we met, our exchange started with letters. We wrote. She know cellular phone, nothing. She was a little bit old-fashioned. So we just wrote letter, and then finally we met in Vienna, where she was living. And for me it was like, oh my God, I can't believe, because I grew up with her recording for the Swedish label Bis. And I have been listening to everything, even the way she took a breath or every phrasing. I could, you know, I heard for hours and hours. But in this way, she has been already my teacher, also when she was not my teacher, because I just was absorbing things from her. Then we met in Vienna the first time, and I had this impression that she was like lost, even if it was her town, but she didn't know very well where to go to have a coffee. I mean, it was a strange feeling. And then we start having a relationship which was very unusual. I was not really teaching. She didn't want to teach me really the flute.
So you said that she stopped playing. Were there a reason why she stopped playing, or the reason why she didn't want to teach?
It's very mysterious. She gave a very different explanation to different people. To me, she said that this path was done. and she didn't have any reason to go on. And she said, I have been playing the flute almost 40 years. She enjoyed tremendously being a flutist, being a musician. And now she felt that this was gone, was simply gone. And she wanted to just quit this path. And she was from the point she left. And then she kept on studying psychology at university, and then she became a consultant for musicians having problems with the fear of public, you know, I mean, performing problem, let's say. Then she got sick very quickly because she was diagnosed with a cancer, and then 2 years after she died.
I wonder if she was diagnosed with cancer and because of that she decided to.
No.
No? Okay.
No, no, no. She decided before the illness.
Wow.
She decided to stop, and she was my age. Huh? She was young. Let's say.
I was thinking she was 50 or 60. No.
No, imagine that she died when she was 51. Ah. So she stopped when she was, I think, 46, something like this. Ah. Yes. And because she began to study again at university, she wrote me every examination she passed. I mean, it was very nice. And then she started working in her place like a psychologist for musician. And then she accepted from the Gothenburg University, so in Sweden, to become the head of the solo department. So she was working with every kind of instruments. She was coaching on stage. And it's true that when she was a flutist, she had this very rare quality, which is called charisma. You know, when she was on stage, she was like a brightening light. It was incredible. She had an energy. She had such a passion and joy of playing. But then she when she took this job in. She passed away, but she left an incredible heritage, I think. And even she didn't become like the superstar flutist, like many others. For me, it remains a phenomenal musician and a phenomenal flutist. So you know, someone I have been loved. I loved her very, 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 very much, and I miss her every day. In fact. But when I listen her playing, there is such a truth in her way to playing that when I listen to her playing, it's like listen to her speaking. So I can imagine that she's speaking to me. And
I feel that you transmit that. I did not know her until you speak about her, you post about her, and I've listened to her recordings. But she is in you now, and you transmit exactly that. I think for me, everything you speak about her, I feel about you.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, this is a huge compliment because for me, Manuela is something that but it's true that she has been influencing me a lot. And I remember that when I was much younger, more or less teenager, I wanted to imitate her, you know, because as everyone, when you is an idol, you want to be like him or her. So I wanted absolutely to play like her. And I was really at the edge of imitation. Then with the time, I just said to myself, you have to play like yourself. You have to be yourself. And Manuela has to be just an inspiration, which will be accompanying you during your whole life, but you know, you cannot, of course, imitate. But it, you know, it's a path. Everything, every one of us has gone through this sort of. I want to play like him or like her. You know, that's it, absolutely normal. So I went. And, Yes, I had to be my to accept to be myself.
What I love about you is also you speak six languages.
Yes.
You are a polyglot. You studied philosophy magna cum laude, top of the class. So you not only have this immense sensitivity, brilliance, beautiful playing, but it's backed up by incredible mm-hmm. intellect. So tell us a little about why you studied philosophy and then your interest in new music.
Yes, well, it was more or less a condition that my family asked me if I wanted to study music, you know, because I am the youngest brother. We are five children and I'm the youngest, and everyone studied at university, you know, very regular path. So when my music teacher, when I was at a middle school, spoke with my parents and that I was talented for music and I had absolutely to study music. Finally, the decision of my parents was then, okay, you studied, you go to the conservatory, but you have to do two school in the same time. So the high school, the liceo in Italy, and then you have to go to the university. So this was the deal. And well, I accepted, but also, well, I did with passion and with enthusiasm, because I have been always very curious, you know, person. I have a lot of different interests. I'm not obsessed with music and focalized on only on music. I can, you know, I can have interested for things which are really nothing to do with music. So I'm always, you know, very my. I want to know this. So the philosophy was because it's a general thing, you know. Philosophy is about everything, you know. It's, if you study mathematics, then it's mathematics. If you study biology, it's biology. I don't know, but when you study philosophy, it's about everything. You can study the time, you can study the moral, you can study the ethic, you can study even the science. I mean, the, you know, so was this open field that was fascinating me. And yes, then I studied, I became a doctor in philosophy, and yes, about Nietzsche, the relationship between Nietzsche and the Christianism. And but when I finished, finally, when I finished my study at university, I was free to be a flutist, 100%. So I could say, now I can consecrate myself to, but I must say that it has been very important to study something else, which is not only music, for two things. When I was a student, it gave me a distance from this highly competitive world, which is the music. So I was not obsessed. Oh my God, I have to win a position in an orchestra, or I have to win the first prize in the major flute competition. I was just relaxed. I knew that I loved the flute above everything. So I was really my love, and I wanted to be a flutist. But my interest was not only focused on this. And this was very, I don't know, was very refreshing. You know, I was not obsessed. Oh my God, the flute, the blah, blah, blah. It was taking very easy way, you know, somehow. Another vision of the world through the philosophy, another vision of my relationship with the people. I could see the world in another way. Maybe more sane than just focusing there, and which is finally is narrow-minded, because you just go in this direction and everything else you just don't care. Or and then when you get older, you realize that there are so many things in the world. There is not only the flute, the music. There are so many things around you, and you say, how could I live like 30 years of my life just by ignoring all this beauty and this knowledge that is around me, you know. So in this meaning, I have no regrets.
Absolutely. I'm 100% with you. I mean, I started off studying medicine, and by accident, I took an audition and I won. I was playing with the Houston Grand Opera as principal flute. And so then I thought, oh, maybe I should study music.
Maybe.
And then I thought, well, I have to go to Juilliard then. So then I went to Juilliard. But anyway.
Yeah, you studied at Juilliard, yes.
The path is, you know, and I love, I have a published book of poetry. You like poetry too, is that
absolutely.
Right?
Absolutely. You published poetry?
Yes! Definitely.
Will read. Okay. Is it in English or in Spanish?
I have a published one in English, but I do write in Spanish as well. And I have material for a whole second book, but you know, I've been so crazy traveling the world that I haven't published yet. But so do you write as well?
No, I wrote when I was 10 years old, 11 years old. I wrote some, but my mother writes poems.
Ah.
Yeah, my mother is a poet, yeah.
Because I feel that you are a very poetic, just your persona is poetry. Your artistry is... Anyway, I wondered if you wrote poetry as well.
No, I know. I love to write, but not poetry. I don't think I have. I feel that I have a lot of poetry inside.
You do.
Myself.
You do.
But I think that the best way I found, and I am very, very lucky because not everyone finds a way to express themselves. I sometimes, you know, when we play concerts, sometimes we see that some people in the audience are so grateful to us, and I'm sure that they are so grateful because they thank us to express things that they feel, but they don't know how to express.
True.
And we found a way to bring these things out, you know, and this is a huge, luck that not everyone has in life.
Absolutely, 100%. It's a privilege what we do.
Absolutely. This is, of course, no one can discuss about it. Of course, it's a privilege.
Yeah, and so tell us about you're currently teaching at Freiburg, yes?
But in Freiburg.
you were teaching in Strasbourg, and how did this come about?
Well, I still live in Strasbourg, so in France, but it's very close to Freiburg, you know. And then I started, I participate to the competition for the professorship. Then I won, and then I started teaching there. And as soon as I could, I left my position in Strasbourg because it was, you know, too much, and I don't like to spread off my energy, and I wanted to, you know, concentrate on one thing, doing this well. Because it's a fantastic school, and it's a comparatively small school, it's not so big, but with a big tradition, especially with the flute teaching, because Nikolaus Delius has been teaching there, and Aurel Nicolet has been teaching there, and William Bennett has been teaching there, Felix Rengli, Robert Aitken, you know, it's a big tradition of flute playing. So when I got the position, I was like, you know, something that you want, that when you receive, you say, oh my God, really? Now I have to take this responsibility. I do my best. I have a very, very nice class with a fantastic student that I really love, coming from all over the world, from South America to Europe, to Korea, to Japan. Well, you know, it's very international. So yes, I'm very, very glad. But I still live in Strasbourg because I'm I've been living here for 20 years. I have a part of myself is here. And so because it's not so far away and I can, you know, just go and teach and come back, I prefer to do that instead of changing really completely 360 degrees my life. And I have fantastic colleagues there. It's a very, very nice atmosphere. It's a fantastic school. The level of in all classes are incredible. So I'm very happy. And I've been teaching in Strasbourg 17 years. So maybe it was time to change also, you know.
How many students do you have in Freiburg?
I have 13 students. It can be also 14, but this is the number, yeah. And you know, I'm very much focused on the solo performance, and there are not so many orchestra in France, while in Germany there are so many orchestra that the student get stimulated to participate to, you know, competition for getting a position in the orchestra, even temporary position or doing the practicum, I mean academy in the orchestra. It's very alive, the musical life in Germany, of course, because it's one of the most very stimulating for me.
Mario, tell us about the contemporary music, your love for contemporary music, and you tour all over the world with your contemporary music.
Yes, I started my career mainly by playing contemporary music, because it was also was I was conscious about this when I was younger, you know, because I was not the kind of flutist who could participate to big international competition. I was absolutely not this kind of person, you know.
Why do you say that?
I don't know. I was unsure, very unsure about myself. I had too many doubts, and in general, you know, in life, I am not ambitious, you know. There is a part of me which is very simple. So I'm not pushing. And so the idea to go, well, I took part to some even international competition, but small. I never went to Kobe, to Geneva, to Munich. But smaller, and I won also. But, you know, even if I thought that I go to a big international competition, even if I figured out the atmosphere with other people, I felt immediately uncomfortable and not in the right place. So I just avoided to make me suffering, or, you know, to do something against myself. So I didn't took part to this competition. But because I have always been very curious, also intellectually very curious, I had a teacher in Italy, his name Anna Maria Morini, and she was very interested in contemporary music. So when I was studying with her, she automatically pushed me to, well, you have to open yourself to contemporary music, you have to know contemporary music, because I was when I was in the conservatory, there was absolutely no possibility to learn or to play contemporary music. For me, it was something absolutely unknown. So with her, I started to play some contemporary pieces, and almost immediately, this interest became very big. So she really opened a door, you know, and I said, what is this beautiful landscape outside, you know, on the other side of this door? So I went to Darmstadt in Germany, which is a medium-sized city in the close to Frankfurt, and in this town, every 2 years, the Institute for the New Music organized masterclass for the new music. But they are very historical. I mean, they started in the, now I don't want to say bad information, I think in the 50s, something like this. And the core of the European contemporary music was done there. So all Messiaen, Xenakis, everyone was there, meeting every summer in Darmstadt. So they are really a very important place, the place to be when you want to do contemporary music. So I went there, I was 22 years old, and they give prize to interpreters and to composers. And it happened that I won this prize, which is called Kranichsteiner Music Prize, so it's the name of the prize. I got this prize, which is for, and this prize, I mean, you don't compete like a normal competition. I mean, when you play concerts for composition class or for the flute class, there is a commission, a jury every time. So you get judged in a very general way. And so I won this prize, which in the world of contemporary music is a really big thing. So I got an invitation to go to Japan to the Festival of Akio Shidai, because the composer Toshio Hosokawa this time organized this festival in Japan, and he was in Darmstadt as a teacher. So I mean, many things started from this point. And I felt a little bit like, maybe I'm not so bad, so maybe I can contact some composer and start working. And I also thought, because I love this music, and I realized that there was no many people, flutists playing well these pieces, I said maybe I can really start being known by playing this music. And moreover, I love this music, so it was like perfect combination. So I started working with Salvatore Sciarrino, with mainly Italian composer. This time it was Luca Lombardi, Ivan Fedele, all this composer. And, you know, I was absolutely unknown, and these composers start pushing me. They propose me, I wrote a new piece, would you play this piece in world premiere or flute concerto? You know, it starts like this, was growing on. And then I start to balance again my interest, and I started being tired of having this, thing on my front, like contemporary music. No, I start to be, because you know better than me that in the music world, we do this thing very often. You are principal flute in an orchestra, you are nothing more than this. You are teacher, you are just a teacher. You play early music, you play contemporary. It's like go to the supermarket and see, here is the milk, here is the pasta, because I'm Italian, here is the Coke, here it is the water. I don't know why people like this, stigmatizing people. Maybe it's sort of shocking to say this, but I never love playing contemporary music. Yeah, label, thank you, Meg Fasani, it's a label, this label. I cannot say that I love contemporary music like I love this thing. There were and there are things in contemporary music, and thanks God, the repertoire of flute in contemporary music is just huge. There are things which I loved and I wanted to promote, and I also knew that this music could promote myself. So I could promote this music and being promoted by this music, you know? But I couldn't say that I love contemporary music. I mean, I love Baroque music, I love Jolivet, I love even playing this, you know, the virtuoso piece of 19th century. I love them, I have so much fun playing the Andersen, and, you know, so I am, but there was a moment in which I was sick of contemporary music. I start to say, okay, I have to balance in my activity playing contemporary music, which is anyway fundamental for me and very important for me, and playing Poulenc and Schubert and Bach, which is one of my biggest love. And it was very important because I think that I could get such an important professorship in Freiburg also because in my curriculum, my activity was very balanced. You know, there was not only contemporary music, but maybe the contemporary music makes the difference with many other fantastic flute player, of course, that maybe are less curious. So it makes something special. Okay, it makes you somehow a little bit special because you show that you have an interest that not so many other people have. But of course, if you want to play in such an important school that like Freiburg, you have to show and to that you are able to play correctly the flute in a correct way, so you can teach in a proper way playing the flute and prepare people for being solo flute or second flute in orchestra or building a chamber music career or even playing contemporary music, you know. But in my teaching, contemporary music doesn't have a special place. I would even say that it's pretty rare that I teach. You know, it has to be balanced, you know. You have to play, the student has to know how to play contemporary music, how to play Mozart, how to play Tafanel, how to play Bach and Boismortier and so on.
Absolutely, absolutely. Yes, I know the feeling of feet being placed in a box, we say.
Oh my God, that's horrible.
I know, but it's almost, it's kind of, I don't know if it's human nature, I don't know, but even as an artist, so I have an album, I have a classical music album, a new age album, tango album.
Absolutely.
I mean, world music, I just, because I can't be in a box either.
Absolutely, I understand, you know, I understand you very well, because in our life, we are not only one thing. I mean, we are human beings. We are not a music stand or a chair or a table. I mean, we are, so our curiosity develops and fortunately we change with the years, our tastes change in the years, we discover new things and we want to I mean the nicest things in the music is that you can share. So if you it happens very recently, maybe from 3-4 years, that I discovered that there are some pieces of Joachim Andersen who are so hauntingly beautiful that I wanted just to show them, you know. I want to just simply show them. And it's like, hey, I discovered something that I find beautiful. May I show with you? And may, because, you know, it's a way also to love other people. When you want to share, it's because you love other people. You love people with whom you share. And it's, you know, then yes, it's so important. And I repeat what I said about you, because I know that you are such a incredibly good flutist, and you can play everything. You know, I see you in video playing the etude, the most crazy difficult etude. You recorded, you know, classical repertoire. But why only being, you know, in the classical repertoire or in the you can even, you know, Paula Robeson, you know, she recorded is samba or, you know, Southern American music and
Brazilian, yeah.
I mean, why not? We are not a computer. We are organic. You know, we are organic. So our curiosity can go in so different direction. And why not to propose to show that I'm interested in this, I'm interested in this, I'm interested in this, and not only in one thing. This is so natural, but it sometimes it's tough because it's, as you said, it's in the human nature to maybe not stigmatize but simplify. And how can you simplify human beings? I mean,
so you know. Mario, what are your interests now? What are you passionate about today?
Love. Love is my biggest passion. I mean, love someone is so nice, isn't it?
It is.
I mean, it's the highest expression of human being to love someone, to give yourself to someone, to love is my biggest interest in the moment. Love someone, give love to someone, not receive. I mean, it's nice to receive, but yes, loving, and then of course also loving people, because through the music you love the people that you listen. But really, for me, I love my students. You know, they are living so much. Huey is living so many hearts, and Jayon and Vizcayafro is really the person I love the most in my life. And Gaia, I mean, it's so nice to love people, you know, and spread of your love. And sometimes, you know, sometimes it can be very hard. When I really love someone, I can be very strict and I can ask a lot, but it's only expression of love. You know, if I don't care about someone, I don't ask. I'm not so demanding. But when I love someone, I'm very demanding, not for myself, but for the other person, because I think that the love is a challenge and is the only thing that makes us better. Mm-hmm. So the love must be in the highest possible experience in when we have the chance to love someone. And I, of course, I speak about the love for a special person, but also the love for your friends, the love for your student. The love, when you give love, you receive love.
Absolutely.
And I think that it's the only way to, you know. And when we had our small speech before this speech, when we have the technical speech, and we have been talking about something, I sat on in my studio and I said, thinking of you, I thought, Mario, people like Viviana are the people you need to have around you. You know, because it comes like a wave, you know, this energy and this love.
Well, like I said from the beginning of our chat, from the moment I first heard you, I loved you.
Likewise.
It was just this thing. I admiration and, oh my goodness.
Likewise.
So I love that we can connect this way, because you don't live close enough to me, that's for sure.
Yeah, that's a little bit, but you know, I keep fond memories of when I came to San Francisco to this beautiful festival, you know, Elizabeth Gaston, this
yes.
fantastic, she's one of the most incredible human beings I ever met. And I regret
you.
So much that she's so far, that we are so far. But, you know, with the age, I really realize that love has nothing to do with geographical distance. Mm-hmm. You know?
True, that's true too. Absolutely. Yes. Well, Mario, as we
yes.
start wrapping our conversation up, I do want to say that we're going to have another conversation in español.
En español, sí, vamos a cambiar de idioma.
En una semana, in 1 week, we are going to repeat. Oh, Elizabeth Gaston!
Elizabeth! Oh, she's done! Sending love to you, yes. My God. She is incredible. I mean, she is one of the most deep and fantastic human beings I've never met in my life. I'm really sincere. She's special. She's very special.
Yeah, well, yes, that's beautiful.
Yes.
So can you offer some advice for young people, like a young flutist who's just starting off? What sorts of, I've heard many beautiful things in our conversation just now, you know, not to limit ourselves, to go after our passions. And I also agree, you know, it's just, that's what makes us unique. Each one of our loves
yeah.
resonates and becomes who we are. What can you add as sort of words of advice for a young flutist?
The main thing I guess is that you have to be sure that you love playing. This is the main thing. I mean, you have really maybe sometimes taking the time to think if it's something you really, which is part of yourself. Because I remember when, as soon as I started playing the flute, I was completely mesmerized almost by this new thing. I immediately understood that I opened a door in my subconscious and there was something there, and I said, oh my God, I found the right key to open really these doors who could remain closed all my life. So I think that if I did my path, it's just because I was absolutely sure that I loved the thing above everything else. So I wanted to do this, and I didn't need to think maybe I have to, I don't know if really maybe if you start saying maybe yes, maybe no, it's no. You have to be ultra motivated, because if you want to become a professional, then if you want just to play for your pleasure, then just go on. And because playing is one of the most beautiful thing in the world. But if you want really to, if you project yourself in the professional world, and if you want to become a professional flutist, it's very competitive. It's very difficult. I mean, and you know, now we are going through a very difficult time, and we see that, you know, the musical world gets stopped. Like, we can, you know, we cannot having you. It's not necessary. This is, you know, one of the biggest mistake I have seen in my life doing by governors or politicians, but I don't want to be polemic with this, but I mean, it's very difficult. So, and if you really love, if you are really motivated, you will find a way, you will find your way, you will succeed, but you have to be in love, and 3,000% you have to be in love for what you do. This is really, I would say only this, because for me is the thing, you know.
Good. You have to be in love 3,000% with the
Yes, no doubt. No doubt. It's when you love someone, if you feel that despite every evidence, every possible problem, this person is the person you love, you go straight ahead and you will succeed. It's the same thing.
It's the same thing. Absolutely. I actually have never thought of it that way, but you're right.
I always experience like that.
I think it's a part. Yes, you have to be, you also have to have self-confidence, right? The confidence enough to put yourself out there.
Yes, but Vivian, I think that it can be a consequence of the huge love that you have. If you really love what you do, then you will get also confident, because maybe if you are not sure that it's really the thing that you want to do in your life, maybe you can have also sometimes lack of confidence. I was not so self-confident when
me too.
So, you know, and still, I mean, still today, somehow, or maybe today it's different, not because I became self-confident, more self-confident. I think that I am, now you push me, you see too. I think that concerning the self-confidence, I am exactly like I was 30 years ago, but I am older, and I got free from the weight of the judgment of other people. I just try to be myself. And if you like, I am, you know, overwhelmed. If you don't like, I'm just sorry, but I cannot be different. You know? But if, when I was younger, if you don't like, for me, was like, my God, they don't like me. It was a drama. And now it's, I'm not so much confident, but this is one of the privilege of the age. You get free from many useless things. You can leave behind you many useless things that don't.
That is true. We gain so much. We become wise as we age.
Yes, absolutely. We become wise.
Another component, though, that I always say is the luck. I mean, luck is so important, too. And that we have zero control, really. We just have to be ready for the opportunity.
Yes, absolutely. And sometimes there are things which happen in the right moment, right thing which happened in the right moment with the right persons. This is destiny, luck. It's something that you cannot really control. But, you know, if you lose an opportunity, there would be another one.
That's true, too.
Yes, you know, you don't have, you know, sometimes when I was 20 years old, I tried the entrance examination at the Conservatoire Supérieur de Lyon, and I failed. And I remember very well that I was devastated. I felt myself, so I this is the end of everything. And now I think that it was an opportunity, because maybe the fact that if I had started to study in such an institution, very maybe classic like this, maybe I wouldn't open myself to the contemporary music as I did and starting this kind of career. So never, maybe this failure today, I can say maybe it was an opportunity.
At the Asian, the Zen way, the Buddhist way.
Yes.
The conflict or failure is always, I view it this way, 100%.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Sometimes it's tough. Sometimes it's tough because one thing, I failed once, so next will be success. No, maybe you will fail 50 times, you know, but you don't know where the life is driving you through this, you know, maybe failure, because every one of us face the failures, and it's just part of the life. I mean, even the death is part of life. So what we do, we stop living because there is the death. I mean, we accept it, we integrate, and we make even the future death an opportunity for today.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yes. Well, on those wonderful words of wisdom.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for joining
me
today,
Viviana.
Dear Mario.
Thank you, Viviana. Cara Viviana.
So, as I said, we will be seeing you next week, same time, same place, en español.
Same time, same place, different language.
And different topics, too.
Yes, as you want, we can speak about everything, you know. I'm open to everything.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you so much.
Thank you very much, Viviana. Thank you very everyone for watching it. And see you in 1 week.
Okay. Bye. Yeah. Ciao.
Thank you. Bye-bye. Ciao. Ciao. Ciao.
Thank you for listening to the Flute View podcast. Please give us a rating and leave a comment. The Flute View is sponsored by Flute World, Haynes Flutes, FluteHoot.com, and the University of California, Santa Cruz, where I teach. Please remember to subscribe for only $12.99 a year at thefluteview.com.